I want to give you some scripture here tonight. If you'll take a look at it, the book of Deuteronomy tonight. The book of Deuteronomy. This is where the Lord's kind of led my heart with these two services this morning. And then tonight, I want us to look at this. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I want to share something here with you tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You pray for our pastor while he's away, and that God will bless him, strengthen him, get him ready when he gets back here to just go gung-ho preaching the Word of God. Amen. We want to lift him up tonight in prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does the human brain have a memory limit? I mean, think about it just a minute. There are some days I can't remember anything. I tell my wife, I'm not getting old. I've just got so much stuff up there, it takes me longer to get to it now than I used to have. But does the human brain have a memory limit? I did some research on this as I was preparing for the message, and scientists have determined that the average human brain, its memory capacity is 2.5 million gigabytes. 2.5 million gigabytes. Now, my phone has a lot of memory on it, but it doesn't have memory like that. It doesn't have it. It also told us that the biggest hard drive to date could only store 10,000 gigabytes. That's the greatest, the biggest hard drive that they've got. However, the human brain does not run out of storage capacity per se. All right? A single human brain has many different kinds of memories. And it's been determined that there is no physical limit to the number of memories that it can store. Yahoo, they've got a memory center, a computational center. They have a 2.0 petabyte computational center, which can process 24 billion events a day. But that is a jaw-dropping 20% smaller than the capacity of a single human brain. Well, think about that just a minute. Just our cerebral cortex alone has a storage capacity of 74 terabytes. Terabytes. Now think about this. As I began to read on this, it said, however, some studies suggest that humans forget approximately 50% of new information within an hour of learning it. Well, husbands, that explains it, does it not? We're living up to the standard today, amen? We're living up to the standard. And within 24 hours, ladies, within 24 hours, that number goes up to an average of 70%. Yeah. These scientists went on to say that although we aren't quite sure exactly how many years of memory the brain can hold, some calculations have shown that humans have a base memory of 450 years. Can you imagine that? 450 years, my wife will remind me I forgot to take the trash out on Wednesday night after church. She'll not forget. Bless her heart. But you know what? The human brain is a marvelous creation. Amen. Folks, it didn't just happen. It's not an accident. It's a creation by God, and a marvelous one at that. But although the human brain is capable of retaining and storing a lot of data over one's lifetime automatically, the sad thing is that many people choose to forget certain things. They choose to forget certain things that happen in their lives that have occurred to them. And some memories, although they're forever stored in our brains, they're there, hidden away, they're there. Some of those things can be put into an intentional forgotten memories file. And we can choose deliberately to forget and not ever take time to think upon them anymore. In our scripture text this evening, God had Moses to once again remind the people of his great goodness to them, amen, of his greatness, of his holiness, of his power in their lives. He had displayed that in many different ways as he delivered them from their bondage in Egypt. And then he told Moses to command the people not only to keep the statutes and the commandments, but to also teach those things to their children and to the next generations that would come up after their children. They were given an obligation to fulfill at the very mouth of God. And after Moses, after he had given these things to Moses to remind them of their blessings, he wanted them to then remember some other things. God had Moses command the people and tell them not to forget the Lord. Not just the events that God had done for them. You know, many times we don't forget the events. We forget those who have prepared those events. And God didn't want them forgetting the one who had done all that he did for them in those years. And why did God do this? That's the question. Why did God do all this? He did this because he knew the heart of the people. He knew their hearts. He knew the hearts of the people that he had delivered from bondage, and he wanted to remind them of his blessings upon them. And he wanted to remind them that he had been good to them through the years. And that hopefully, they would love the Lord enough to choose never to forget all that he had done for them. You know what? That's a choice, folks. That's a choice. And it was for their sakes. It was for the sakes of their children. And for the sakes of the generations that would follow after them after they had passed on. It was for their sake that God reminded them of these things. And folks, tonight, I just want to remind us, God has given to us, even as he did to the children of Israel, God has given us the capacity to never forget all of his blessings. He's given us a great tool here. But folks, where we choose not to forget is not always settled here as much as it is settled here. Amen. In our hearts. Listen, when I tell my wife I love her, I tell her I love her. I don't tell her I love her with all my brains, because she'd laugh and she'd say, well, I guess it is the little things that count. Yeah. But I tell her I love her with all my heart. Why? Because that is the seat of our emotions, of our decisions, of all that we do. And God had wanted them to choose to never forget not just the blessings, not just the things that he had done for them, but the one who had given them those blessings. We are prone to always be mindful of the gifts, but we're prone to forget the giver of those gifts, are we not? And we don't want to be that way. And I want the Lord to help us tonight to choose to remember him and all that he has done for us. So tonight I want to speak to you on this simple subject, some things we do not need to forget. Some things that we do not need to forget. And I'm going to be taking you throughout the Word of God several places, and we're going to be turning to several places in the Bible, but I want you to see what God's Word has to say about this tonight. All right? Let's pray just a moment, and then we'll have the message. Father, again, Lord, tonight, I praise your name for reaching down one day and saving my unworthy soul. And Lord, for later calling me to the ministry, calling me to preach your word. God, what a blessed privilege this is tonight to stand here in the place of our pastor and stand for him as I stand for you. And Lord, I pray that tonight, dear God, that you will give me the words that you'd have me to say. And Lord, cleanse my heart, my mind of those things that are not needed to be said. But Lord, help me, God, to preach thy word as you've given it unto me. Help us, Lord, never to forget the giver of all blessings and the one that has loved us and saved us and looked beyond our faults. He saw our needs. And Lord, he did for us. You've done for us, God, what we could not do for ourselves. Help us, God, never to forget your many blessings. Bless your word. Bless the children up on the hill there with the Vacation Bible School and the Teen Revival. I pray, dear God, tonight that there be many young people that come to know you as their Savior, and those that are saved, Lord, would be stirred to do something great for you in the days to come. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn back with me tonight to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. That's the second book in the Old Testament scriptures. Exodus chapter 1. I'm going to be reading quite a few scriptures tonight. And I want you to see what God's word has to say about this thing tonight. And as we turn to Exodus chapter 1, verse number 1, we're going to start there. I want us to think about this thought. Number 1, may we never choose to forget where the Lord brought us from when he saved us. Now, folks, listen to me tonight. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, God did a mighty work in their lives. He delivered them from bondage. He delivered them from injustice, slavery, and everything else that could be imaginable upon those people. They had been there for many, many years. And the Bible said here in Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt, every man and his household with Jacob. Now then he names the sons. He begins with Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all of his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Israel, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Let us, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. And but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Israel spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. Thank God for people that fear the Lord. Amen. They know what the law says. They know what the king says. But they know what God says too. Amen. Amen. And the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Israel commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they're lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. Amen. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Amen. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. God wanted his people never to forget what all he had done for them. Now, later after Joseph died, Joseph came in and you know, God used Joseph to save Egypt and all the then known world from famine that had come upon this earth. And after Joseph died, the children of Israel increased greatly in their numbers. And they enjoyed the blessings of God upon the land that they had been given. You'll see that in verses 6 and 7. And I want to ask you today, can you remember where God found you and how he has blessed you since he saved you and increased all that you have in your life today? Back when we lived in North Carolina, but if when I was growing up, if you lived in a brick house, you were rich. You were rich. Not everybody had a brick house, okay? We were like the little piggies that lived in the houses that were made of straw and other things, okay? We were just little piggies. But listen, if you were rich, man, you lived in a brick house. And God has blessed us through the years. I never will forget. My wife and I, we bought a little single-wide trailer. 14 by 68, one of the biggest ones that they made at that time, 1981. We were so excited. When we bought it, it came with brand new furniture. We didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. Came with a little dishwasher just big enough for the two of us. Amen? It had three bedrooms in it, two bathrooms. Man, we had everything we ever needed in that thing except air conditioning. All right? Didn't have air conditioning. Couldn't afford it. Didn't come with underpinning, okay? Anything like, we couldn't afford it. That was back in the days when the interest rates were higher than they are today. I think it's what, like 18% or something like that, interest on a loan to get something like that. And man, we just thought we were the biggest things. We had our own porch light right there beside the front door and everything. Man, we were excited. Had one on the back door, had a light on the back door so that folks would know we were home or we weren't home. And I look at how God has blessed us through the years. And now, 6 years ago, God allowed us to buy a house here in Westminster. When we sold our little place down south, we had a house that was about 1,800 square feet, a little over 2 acres of land. We sold all of that 4 years after we moved here. And we were able to finally sell it. And we sold it for a whopping, we thought we were just rich. We sold that for $67,000. And boy, we thought, man, we're going to buy us a piece of land up here. We're going to be able to buy a house. We were renting up on the hill. You remember that? We were renting on the hill up beside the water tower and the Verizon tower. And we thought, man, we sold that thing for $67,000. We're going to buy us some land. We're going to build us a house. Well, we're going to be fit. Until I found out you couldn't buy 1 acre of land for $67,000. Nowhere close to that. I mean, that's just the dirt. We couldn't even buy the dirt to build a house on. So we began to pray and ask God to help us to find a place. And 6.5 years later, God gave us a place. And you know what? We live in a brick house today. A brick house today. Brick. Not the piggy twigs. I'm talking brick all the way around it. Man, God's been good to us. And you know what? I thank Him. I want to never forget where God brought me from. And folks, we never need to forget where God brought us from. What God has done for us in the hard times, when the new king desired only to do away with the Jews, God did not forsake His people. Amen? He did not forsake them. He blessed them. And He gave them blessings. And we see that all the way down through verse number 22. But I want us to see a second thing also. I want us to see and understand that we never need to choose to forget what God has done for us since He saved us. Now, we know what God did for us before He saved us. We know what God has been doing for us. But I want us to see something here to remind us of what God has done for us since He brought us out of the bondage of sin. Turn with me over to the book of Exodus chapter 13 now. Exodus chapter number 13. And here in Exodus chapter 13, I want us to look at verse number 3 where we read these words. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. Now after some 430 years of sojourning and dwelling in Egypt, after 430 years, God delivered His people out of Pharaoh's hands and out of his bondage. And He did it with a great and a mighty hand, even as He had promised that He was going to do. He did something that no one else could do for the people of Israel. And now we read, go back one chapter, in Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 through 42, the Bible said, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. On that night in Egypt, the Lord God Himself passed over all the land, And he looked for one thing, and one thing only. What was it? It was the blood. The blood. God had had those people take the blood of an innocent lamb and not just shed the blood, but to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintels of that house. And God said that, he said there in verses 12 through 14, he said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." What was God saying? He said, "I want you to remember and never forget the day that when I saw the blood applied to your house, I passed over you." And folks, I never will forget the day, March the 28th, 1975, as a 15 and a half year old young man, I bowed upon my knees and I asked God to forgive me of my sin. I confessed the fact that I was lost. I was on my way to a devil's hell. And yet, by faith, I believed upon him and I received him in my heart as my Savior. And you know what? Since that day, when he passes over me, he sees the blood. Amen? The blood has been applied. You know, as God instructed Moses, so Moses also instructed the people. As God instructed the man of God, the man of God instructed the people. That's the pastor's job. That's his job today. That's what I'm trying to do here tonight, is to instruct you and show you and remind you of what God would have us to know. And look what he said here in this chapter 12, verses 21 through 24. Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and he said unto them, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer death," okay? "He will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." God's chosen people were not to forget that dreadful night in Egypt land. They were to never forget what God did for them. Can you imagine the fear that must have been in their hearts that night? Will God keep his promise? Let me tell you something. God is faithful to his word. And God will do what he says he will do. There are many people today that think, you know, you get saved today and you can do something bad and you can lose that salvation. Listen, that would be like telling you that the devil is more powerful than God. Listen, the devil is not powerful, that powerful. He cannot unsave you. He cannot unbirth you out of the family of God. Listen, my children, no matter how mischievous they may have been, no matter what they may have done right or what they may have done wrong, they can never be unbirthed or sent back where they came from. My wife is very glad about that. My son is much bigger than I am. He's a heavy boy, okay? And you know what? You can never be unborn after you've been born. And God wanted these people to understand, listen, I'm doing something for you that no one else can do. And in verses 24 through 28 of Exodus chapter 12, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 12, verse 24, he said, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." How long does God want us to remember what he has done for us? Forever. Even as he desired for the children of Israel to never forget what God had done for them, so God desires for you and for me today to never forget what he has done for us. Folks, may we never forget what God has done for us. Let me ask you something tonight, dear child of God. When is the last time you talked to your children or your grandchildren of the things that God has done for you in your lifetime? I like to sit down with our grandchildren sometimes and just remind them. I was once a child too, you know. And they'll ask me, they say, "Grandpa, when were you born?" And I look at them and I'm thinking, what am I going to tell them? So I tell them something really incredible. And they said, "Grandpa, when were you born?" And I said, "Grandpa was born back in the mid-1900s. And they say, "Wow!" Because all they remember is the 2000s, okay? They think, man, that's really a long time ago. All right, I was born in 1959. And they look at me and they think, "Wow, Grandpa, you don't look that old." I say, "Well, man, you ought to see your grandma. She was born just a couple years after I was. Wow! Is she really that old?" "Yeah, she really is." Listen, they just get amazed by that. But I love to sit down and tell them how that as a boy, I got to come to church on a Sunday school bus. And those folks loved me and brought that bus by my house and took me to church and let me hear the gospel. And I got saved. And later on, God called me to preach his word. And later on, I got to praying for a Christian girlfriend. And God introduced me to one at our youth group there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I lived on the south side of Winston, came to church by Sunday school bus. She lived on the north side of town. And her parents brought her to church. And we met in the house of God. Sat beside one another on the youth choir buses when we would go with our pastor. He'd be preaching revival services and our youth choir would go and sing there. I never will forget getting to sit beside her. Oh my soul, what an event. That just seemed like the greatest thing. And the one night that we turned around to look at something in the back seat, and we were sitting right behind the driver, Brother Terry Morgan, and there was a little cushion bar up there at the front behind the driver's seat. And she was sitting on the outside. I was sitting on the inside near the window. And she turned around this way to look back. And I turned around this way to look back. And our hands touched. And I thought, oh, my soul, this is the one I'm going to marry right here. This is it. I know it by the touch. I'm going to marry her. I just knew it. And you know what? She was the only one I ever dated. I was the only one she ever dated. And you know what? We dated for 4 years. I finally asked her to marry me. We were engaged another year. And this year, if God lets us live through October, we will be married for 43 wonderful years. Okay? God's been good to us. But it all happened when he saved me. God had a plan. And folks, God has a plan for you. And he wants us never to forget what he's done for us since he saved us. When's the last time that you told somebody about what Christ has done for you? Listen, this next generation coming along, they need to know what Christ can do for them. And they need to see it in your life and in mine. I've told you this on many occasions, but I keep a few pictures in my Bible here. And I keep them in this little passage at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I keep that picture of where I was one out of 60 kids on that Sunday school bus. We had picture Sunday that Sunday. And I keep this picture in my Bible to remind me of where God found me. I'm right here. I'm that one right there. I'm the cute one right there. All right. I was one out of 60-some kids on that Sunday school bus. I keep also a picture of our children and my family. This is my wife, my son, and my daughter. Well, it's a picture of them. It's not actually them, but it's a picture of them. And I've got a picture here that I keep in there of old-fashioned Sunday. My daughter was dressed up as a pilgrim. My son was dressed up as a little farm boy. Okay, he was about 2 years old there. Our daughter's about 6 years of age. And I keep that picture in there to remind me of all that God has given unto me through the years. And then I've got something here that may sound crazy to you, but I've got a song. And I keep this little song in my Bible, and it's called "Thou Art a Wonderful God." Have you ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? All right? Some of the bus workers and things like that, you work with children a lot, you've probably heard this song. "Thou Art a Wonderful God." It goes something like this. "Thou art a wonderful God. Thou art a wonderful God. Thou madest the mountain, thou madest the sea, thou madest the songbirds that fly over me. Oh, thou art a wonderful God. Thou art a wonderful God. Thou madest the nighttime, thou madest the days, thou causest thy tongue to keep singing this phrase. Thou art a wonderful God. Oh, thou art a wonderful God. Thou madest all men and they broken thy law. Thou sendest thy son to redeem us because thou art a wonderful God. Thou art a wonderful God. Cause us to tell thy son's story and then to look for the skies for his coming again. For thou art a wonderful God. Thou art a wonderful God." And I get to singing that thing in the shower sometimes. And man, I know to get out of the shower when there's no more warm water, okay? But I get to thinking about how wonderful a God that we serve truly is. Amen. Oh, folks, never forget what God has done for you. But then number three, may we choose never to forget what God wants and desires to do with our lives. You know what? God saved us for a purpose. He saved us for a purpose. God saved us to take the message to others. That's what we're doing with Vacation Bible School. That's what we do with Sunday school each week. That's what we do with our Christian school, so we can be able to teach boys and girls the reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they also need to know the God and the Savior of our world. Turn with me to the Old Testament book again of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I want us to look at verses 5 and 6. Before going into the promised land, God had Moses give these final instructions in order that they never forget. This is what he said. He said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." God has given us a wonderful brain if we will only use it. But he has changed something in our heart since he saved us. He plants there within that fertile soil of a saved heart, he plants a love that can never be changed. And you know what? When God saved me, he changed me. He gave me a new desire to live for him, not to use his name in vain, but to use it to glorify his name. And these folks, they were to love the Lord their God with all of their heart. They were to love the Lord their God with all of their soul. With all of their being, they were to love the Lord with all their soul. And they were to love the Lord their God with all their might. Everything about them was to be centered around the love of God. And they were to keep God's instructions in their heart, in the very seat of all their emotions and decision-making processes. That's where they were to keep that love. In other words, they were to do all that they did in their lives and in their remembrances with an attitude of gratitude unto God. The right attitude. We don't have to come to church on Sunday night. We get to come to church on Sunday night. Amen? And I say that because as you pass down the streets of Westminster, there are not many places that are having a service tonight. Most are closed up. Most are not interested in hearing the Word of God being preached. And I don't say that haughtily or anything like that. I say that thankfully tonight, that we have a place that we can come when we are hungry for the Word of God, that our children can come and hear the man of God preach to us and teach us the ways of God. We need to thank the Lord for that tonight and be grateful unto God. They were to keep God's instructions in their heart. In other words, they were to do all that they did with an attitude of gratitude. Normally, were the pastor not on vacation as he is tonight, I'd be out helping with Vacation Bible School tonight. We start with the registrations, and then we're up there doing the different things with the kids. And you know why? You know why I do that? Not because Pastor Josh twisted my arm and said, if you don't do this, I'm going to whoop you. No, he didn't do that. But he did offer me an opportunity to serve the Lord, even as he did with other people. And they're up there tonight serving the Lord. Listen, I would normally be up there because when I was a boy, somebody did that for me. Now, we used to have Vacation Bible School, not at night. We had it during the day. Every day, man, the bus would pick me up before 9 o'clock in the morning. And we would be there for Vacation Bible School from 10 o'clock until about 12 o'clock. We would have Vacation Bible School. And we would hear the Word of God. We would hear the stories. They would teach me and tell me about God's love for me. And I never will forget. I wanted so much to go forward to be saved, but I was afraid. I was scared. And I didn't do it. And it got to the point when I was 15. Man, I couldn't stand it anymore. And I trusted Christ as my Savior as a 15-year-old boy. And now, because of what Christ did for me, I get to do the same thing for somebody else. Amen. My wife was telling me tonight, our grandson wants a new Bible. And he wants a nice one. And I thought, you know what? That's worth everything right there. Amen. To desire the Word of God. Pastor Brian got a brand new Bible the other day. Brand new. He got this thing ordered and got it all set up. It's a new Cambridge-type Bible. Beautiful Bible. And man, he came down to my office and showing me that Bible. You'd have thought somebody gave him $1 million. You know what? He got something worth more than $1 million. He got a copy of God's precious Word. And folks, listen to me. I remember when I got a copy of the New Testament, God's precious Word. It was on the front of it. It had Soul Winners New Testament. I got that in Bible school. And you know what? That's the little Bible that I had when I got saved. I've got it on my desk in my office right now. Got a big rubber band wrapped around it because I'd worn out the pages so much the binding is broken on it. I got a rubber band holding it together. But I never want to forget what God wants me to do. And that is to tell folks about Jesus. Listen, you may ask, preacher, what would God have me to do for him? What would God have me to do that I could do for him? Look at the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me, and I'll show you exactly what God would have you to do for him. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Number one, God wants and desires for you to be a teacher of others who you know. And that job begins right there where you are at home. You know what? You get a chance to tell your children what Christ has done for you. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to be able to tell folks what Christ did for them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And thou shalt teach them. Teach who? The children. You shall teach the word of God diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I love to go out at night and take my precious out for a walk. That's my dog, not my wife, my dog, okay? And I'll take her out, and we'll walk out, and I take a little flashlight with me so I can see where to step, okay, where she's been and where I don't need to be. And I'll take that flashlight with me, and then I'll kind of put it to my side so it's not shining everywhere, and just look up at the stars. And I'll tell Precious, I said, Precious, honey, our God did that. He made all those stars up there. Now, she doesn't understand everything. She just looks at me and wags her tail. I don't know. I think she's just glad because I'm talking to her. But the thing is this. I look at all that God has done. And I want to tell my children. Now, we don't have any children except for Danny at home. Where's he at tonight? There he is, back here asleep. Oh, back on the back row there. He's with us until the end of this month. And he's going out on his own. Going to get his own little apartment. He and Andrew going to live down in Rockville. But you know what? He's the only one I got left at home to tell what God's done for us. And you know what? Every time we sit down to go get a meal or anything like that, he's ready. He's ready to eat. He's ready to pounce on that plate. But he's waiting. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for me to pray. Because he knows we're going to thank God for the food that we have. Man, we're to teach all these things that God has done to us to our children at home. God desires us to be a teacher to those around us. Number two, God wants and desires for each of us to be a testimony of God's great love and mercy to all the lost world around us. Our neighbors, the folks that live around us, the folks that we work with, the folks that we meet at the grocery store. Man, when we go to the drive-thru and get a sandwich or something, whenever I go to Burger King, I save Burger King coupons. And I had some last night. We were going to stop and get it, but it was just too much food to eat on that coupon that we had. But there is a lady that works in the drive-thru, an older woman. And every week she says, Preacher, you got something else for me to read? And I give her a different gospel track every time I go by there. And she says, Thank you, Preacher. Thank you. And she's always looking for me to give her something from the Word of God. You know what? That's a testimony. She knows me. And when I came by, I got to drive, started 3 weeks ago driving again after I had this hip replacement. And I went by Burger King to get me a fish sandwich. And I got by there and she said, Where in the world have you been? I thought you died. I said, I didn't die. I just had a hip replacement. I couldn't drive. My wife wouldn't take me to Burger King. She didn't like Burger King. I told her, I said, you can be the Burger Queen. So I went by there. She said, Have you got me another paper? I said, I sure do. And I gave her another little gospel tract there. And she was excited about it. Listen, God wants us to be a testimony. Look at verses 10 through 19. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee goodly, great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go out after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against you, thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Folks, the world needs to know what God has done for us. But they also need to know what God wants to do for them. So God desires us to be that testimony for him. But number three, God wants and desires for you and me to be a testimony of God's great love and mercy to all those who follow behind us. One of these days, we're going to be off the scene. You and I are going to be in heaven. And there's going to come a generation behind us. And they're either going to know about God, they're either going to know God, or they're going to know about God, or they're going to know not God. Which of the three is it going to be? Folks, we need to let them know what God has done for us and what God wants to do for them. And this next generation, I keep praying that God's going to call some young men out from our Christian school to be pastors, missionaries. Listen, I keep praying that God's going to call some young ladies to just be willing to serve God in whatever manner that God would have them serve him. That's my prayer. That's my desire with our Christian school. And notice here in verses 20 through 25, he said, here's the reason. One day, your children are going to ask you, Daddy, why do we have to go to church on Sunday? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we pray before we eat? Why do we do what we do for God? And the Bible says here, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. In other words, kids, we saw it happen. And they're going to say, wow. Look what else it said. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do these statutes, all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be for our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Notice here again, it all starts at home. When our children and our grandchildren ask us, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, why do you do what you do for the Lord? Why do you do what you do? Why do you always go to church? Every time I'm talking to you, you're either going or coming back from church. Why do you do that? Notice too, folks, that our answer to this generation, it's to be based upon our never forgetting what God has done for us. We don't forget what God has done for us. We were once held in spiritual bondage by Satan and by sin. Listen, God did something great for us. For me, He sent a Sunday school bus by my house, and they picked me up and brought me to church. He may have sent a soul winner by your house. He may have opened up a position where your child could be in our Christian school and hear about the Word of God. Maybe the pastor came by your house. Maybe somebody from the soul winning group came by your house and told you about Jesus. Maybe you picked up a gospel tract somewhere and read it and realized you needed a Savior. Whatever the situation was, God did something great for you. And because of God's goodness and mercy upon us, we ought to want everybody around us to know not only what God has done for us, but what God can do for them. Folks, tonight, we need to stop and remember what God has done for us. God's given you a great big brain. God's given you all kinds of capacity. God's given men, your wives, a memory that'll last for 450 years or more. She'll never forget. But you know what? God has done something even greater than that. He saved you. He's done something great for you. He brought you out of bondage. He set you upon a solid rock. And He's given you a story to tell. And that's what we need to do tonight. Let's do what God has said do. Let's choose never to forget what God has done for us. Some things that we choose, that we need to never choose to forget. Let's pray just a moment. We'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, tonight, I want to thank You, first of all, for choosing to love a sinner like me. Why You did it, I'll never know. But I sure am glad that You did. And Father, I pray that tonight You will help us to choose not to forget Your many blessings. This morning, God, I reminded the people that it was Your choice to love us and to give Himself for us. But tonight, Lord, I want to remind our people that now we have a choice also to make, whether we will forget the giver of all the blessings in our lives, or whether we will choose to remember all that You've done for us and go out and tell others. Lord, please help us tonight to never forget where You brought us from and the job that You've saved us to do. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.